Awesome. Awesome. Well, good morning, and thank you to Steve for allowing me to occupy this space today. As I walked into the back of the sanctuary this morning, I just kind of felt at home because this is so similar to the church I grew up in Elgin, Illinois. Anybody else from Illinois? Bears fans? Anyone? Okay. So I'm grateful to be here this morning, and as Steve said, just longtime friends, and for the past 10 or 11 years, I've considered Sherry Hitler my spiritual mentor, and I know that my name is Angel, but her office was above mine, and I just considered her the angel above me for the years that we both worked at Spring Arbor Church. So if I may, just begin with a moment of prayer. Lord Jesus, as we've already said this morning, we want your spirit to be here with us, and we know that it is. We're just confirming your presence here with us. And Lord, you've given me words to speak, but what I know is that my words mean nothing if your Holy Spirit is not here. And so, Father, would you just allow us to, in this moment, open our hearts to you. And Lord, whatever you will to speak to the hearts of this family of believers, Lord, would we have ears to hear. In your name we pray. Amen. I am a sinner saved by grace. 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 This is the lens I want us to keep in front of us this morning. That we all are sinners saved by grace. We're going to begin there and we're going to end there. Have you ever watched an action show? You're caught up on the season, right? You're like, I know what's going on in the show. And then you turn on the next episode and you feel completely lost because you have no idea what's going on in the show. And then these little words come at the bottom of the screen. 3 days earlier, you know, and they bounce you back to where, now we're going to know how we got to where we were when I was totally lost and completely confused about what was going on. Well, that's what we're going to do this morning. I get mad when that happens, so please don't be mad at me, but we're going to do that. And where we're going to end today is with this phrase that is the last few verses, words of the book of Hebrews chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, open up. We're going to be bouncing through Hebrews a little bit because we want to get to this place where we hear these words to help us in our time of need. In our time of need. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't like to be in need. Now, if you were there yesterday, you know I'm a 2 on the Enneagram, and you understand that more than the other people who weren't there, okay? But none of us in this independent, overly individualistic culture that we live in like to admit that we have times when we're in need. But can I just remind us that we're always in need and that our greatest need is for the mercy and grace of Jesus to be upon us? And so I want to walk us through the book of Hebrews. I want to show you who Jesus is, and I want to remind us of who we are in light of who he is. So again, if you have your Bibles, in chapter 1, the opening of Hebrews. Now, let me just say, Hebrews is one of those books that it's not my first choice when I pick up the Bible. Like, I'm going to read something easy to understand. I'm going to read in the book of Hebrews. We don't even know who wrote it, you know. But it's one of these books that I'm falling in love with this year. Because the richness and the depth and the understanding of how the Old Testament and the New Testament come together in Jesus Christ is blaring throughout this book. So this book of Hebrews, it opens up with these words about who Jesus is. these seven truths that are going to be the foundation of what we do today. So hear this. The first thing we know is that Jesus is the appointed heir of all things. He is God's son. He is the one who will inherit all of God's estate. That's who he is. We also learn that he is the one through whom the entire universe was created. I think it's important that we always look for places where scripture confirms itself. In John chapter 1, verse 3, it says, through him all things were made. Confirmation. And again, in Colossians 1:16, by him all things were created. By him and for him. He is the one who created the universe. And didn't he do a marvelous job? Not only in the humanity, the infinite combinations of people that he has and will continue to create, but in the beauty of the world that we've been given, the ever-changing world. Yesterday when I drove from Spring Arbor to Ypsilanti, the sky just had these beautiful clouds. The sun came up, purples and pinks and beauty, and there was the moon was just this little sliver in the sky. I felt like God was smiling down on me. This morning, not so much of those colors. But because my eye wasn't drawn so much to the drab sky, I could see the beauty of the leaves and the fall and the wind blowing and the mist falling. God created a beautiful world for us to enjoy. Scripture goes on to say that he is the reflection or the radiance of God's glory. The Son and the Father, they're inseparable. And as the Son reflects the glory of the Father, that's our role as well, to reflect the glory, to be radiant, because we're full of all that God is. And it continues to say he's the exact imprint or representation of God's very being. God the Father and God the Son are one in the same, and the Holy Spirit, one in the same. Next, it says, he is the one who sustains all things by his powerful word. And I underlined word because it's a key word in the word that I'm bringing to you today. So keep watching for it. So he creates and he sustains. And then, this is the one we cannot miss. He is the one who provided purification for our sins. And he did it by his death on the cross. And man, I hope that never gets old for you. The awe and wonder of that, that the one who hung on the tree made it so that I did not have to. And he then is the one who is seated at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Christ is the one who rules, and he is the one who reigns, and he is worthy of that place at the right hand of God. This first chapter goes on and it tells us how Jesus is God's son. And it confirms that over and over. And it tells us that he is higher than the angels. So this one who rules and who reigns is the one who has angels who minister on his behalf. But they are never above him. So hear this. Are we ready? Now, I love the word of God, okay? Scripture. And I love the big words, but I find a lot of meaning in the small words. So at the beginning of chapter 2, we hear this. We must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. There's one little tiny word repeated in that verse 3 times, and it's the word we. We, together, collectively, as a body of believers, we have to be paying careful, more careful attention to what's going on in God's world around us. And we have to do that so that we do not drift away. And there's something that I want you to hear that I believe to be immensely true, that isolation almost always leads to spiritual drift. I don't think any of us live in kind of a monkish monastery type setting, okay? That's the exception. But for most of us, when we're alone, our thinking gets skewed. We can get off course pretty easy. We just kind of go where we're bent. But when we have people around us who love us enough to tell us the truth and who journey with us and who encourage our spirits, the chances of us drifting is greatly reduced. So if you want me to put that in one concise sentence for you, because I teach a lot of college freshman courses, so you have to like bring it home, you know? We need one another. The scripture goes on, and this part gets me so excited, because what we see next is that God, not only are we paying attention to him, but he's paying attention to us. And in these four phrases, I hope that you hear how much God loves you and how well he sees you. So hear that this passage in Hebrews chapter 2 says, God is mindful of us. Do you know that you're on God's mind? Do you know that you have a creator who didn't just make you and then let you kind of spin? I'll pick you up later. He is paying attention. You are on his mind. Not only that, but he cares for you. He thinks about you. He wants what's best for you. And you know what else? This really blows my mind. He trusts us. Sometimes I wonder why, but he trusts us, and he says he will crown us with glory and honor. The very glory and honor that was given to him, he transposes to us. And not only that, does he share glory and honor with us, but then he said he puts everything under our feet. We have responsibility in this world to care for those around us, to care for the world he created. And I hope that excites you more than frightens you today. The next thing we find out is that Jesus paid the cost and provided the grace which covered our sin. So we've already learned 7 things about Jesus. I'm going to add 3 more. That makes a perfect 10, right? First, we know that Jesus is a faithful and merciful high priest. I'm going to talk about that more later, but remember it. We also know that by his death on the cross, he made atonement for our sin. So the price for our sin has been paid. And the third thing that we know is that he was tempted and he has suffered and he can understand our situations. There's nothing that we will encounter in life that Jesus says, oh, that's a new one. Anything we encounter, any place we find ourselves, Jesus understands. So remember when I said isolation leads to spiritual drift? Now, you know, I've got my NIV Bible here, but I'm loving my NRSV translation, okay? And I want to read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 out of that translation. It says this, holy partners in a heavenly calling, consider that Jesus was faithful to the one who appointed him. I want you to catch that little phrase, holy partners. Now, I'd like you to look around the room at some of the people around you, okay? Look around, yep, okay. Do you consider them holy partners in a heavenly calling? Is there anyone in this room where you're like, man, I don't, everybody but them? Don't point fingers right now, okay? But I want to just remind us that if we are going to fulfill a heavenly calling, we have to do it together, and we have to be for one another. And if there's any against in this room, when somebody from out there walks in here, they're going to feel it, and they're going to know. So before we're witnesses out there, we've got to be faithful in here to take care of any business, any brokenness amongst us. If we don't, the next thing could happen. So three times in chapters 3 and 4, the author of Hebrews quotes Psalm 95. The author of Hebrews loves to quote the Old Testament. And this is one of those places where three times we hear the same words, and it's this. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Does anybody hear like ominous music in their mind right now? Today, if you hear his voice, and what do we know? The Spirit is always speaking. So today, if you're not hearing his voice, could it be that there's a hardness somewhere in your heart? Because this is what rebellion is, you guys. Rebellion is when we refuse to believe God will do what he promised. So we choose to go our own way. That's rebellion, plain and simple. And we've all been there. Can I tell you that almost always, no, I don't need to say almost, always, rebellion is going to lead us to disobedience and sin. It will. That refusal to submit ourselves to the Lord, to hear his voice, to go his way, to do his work, it's always going to lead us to a place of separation from him. And so these two types of hearts that the author of Hebrews identifies, this hard, unteachable heart, this stubbornness that says, I will go my way and not God's way. And then he couples that with an unbelieving heart, a heart that says, nope, I'm choosing what I believe over what God has said. Those two things, they just kind of cycle around one another. And I want to ask you today, is there anywhere in your heart that's hard? Is there anywhere that you're saying, no, God, you can have everything in me except that? Because it will always lead us to rebellion and will never lead us to rest. Now, as I said, I teach college freshmen a lot, so I learned some tactics, okay? So one of them is say what you want to say and then say it one more time and let them know that that's what's coming. So quick review. 7 things we learned about Jesus. These beautiful things that remind us of the magnitude of who he is. We learned that we have to be together. We can't be isolated. We learned that we're holy partners. And we learned that we have to keep our hearts soft and available to Jesus. So if you want to consider that mini sermon number 1, go ahead. Okay? So take a deep breath, settle in. Mini sermon number 2, here it comes. For the rest of our time together, we're going to be looking at just a few verses. So if I may read Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 for you. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thought and attitudes or the intentions of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Now, this is one of those verses we probably have heard many, many times, right? The word of God, it's living and active. We know that. For most of us, we're like, this is the word of God. And you are right, but that is not complete. Because when this was written, this didn't exist, right? Nobody had like a whole Bible that they were reading. The author of Hebrews, when the author of Hebrews talks about the word of God, they're talking about the words that we know from the Old Testament. They're talking about the message that Jesus shared when he was on the earth. And they're talking about all the activity of God that's going on right now. All the words that the Holy Spirit is speaking to those who hear his voice. the Word of God. It's big. And it's living and active. Have you ever had a time where you've come to this book and it has pierced to your very soul? Where you've said, I have read that so many times, but I never heard it like that. That's because God's word always meets us where we're at. And that's why one of the things that I hope you hear from me today is that every day you've got to be in it. Every day. Because there's a word God has for you every day. There's marching orders that God has for you every day that he wants to speak to you plainly. He's not hiding from you. He's right here speaking to you. The thing that jumped out to me as I was reading this passage this time through was that phrase, it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. That very heart we've been talking about that can't be hard and unbelieving and in a state of rebellion, it identifies our motives. And I want you to hear that our motives matter. So yesterday, a group of us met. We talked through this assessment tool called the Enneagram. And for those of you who were there, you know that I'm a 2 on the Enneagram, right? 2, peace, not this. You know, okay. So as a 2, I want people to love me, okay? So the same act done with different intention carries a completely different meaning. Can we agree to that? So as a 2, if I just look at Francis and I'm like, can I do anything for you? I just want to love you and I just want to bless you. And if she's like, yeah, you can do this for me or that for me, I'm like, great. And if I'm doing that, if I'm loving Francis because I want to honor and glorify and love Jesus, then that is a pure and holy thing, right? But if I'm like, okay, if I do something for Francis, then she owes me. Then she's indebted to me. Then she's attached to me. Then she needs me. That completely changes the act, right? No longer is my motive pure to honor and please the Lord. It's all about me. And that's what this verse is getting at. And I wonder if you can think just briefly about the last week that you've had. Why did you do the things that you did? Was it so you would be seen? Was it so people would say, oh, you're awesome? Was it simply because you love Jesus and you want to be available to him in whatever way he calls? Our motives matter. So, Steve didn't share, he shared about our friendship, which is, of course, the most important thing, right? But please know that in my professional world for the last 10 years, I have had 2 main roles: licensed professional counselor and professor. And it's a crazy combination, right? So I spend half my time talking to people and half my time listening to people. That's what I do. And here's what I've discovered in both those roles, but probably more so in my counseling office, that we are experts at hiding from ourselves. We are experts at self-deception, and we are experts at hiding from other people too. We're just good at it. I don't want to be good at it, but we are. And in order to get at those deep-seated intentions and attitudes in our heart, we have to expose ourselves to the truth of God's word. We have to. It's one of the only ways that we truly see ourselves the way God sees us and where we enable God to put his finger on something that doesn't please him. We have to be here. But I don't think that's the only thing we need. I think we also need to be with people who are also in God's word, who also see us well and can expose some of those things that we just don't want to admit to ourselves. And I've had to do that more than I like, and it is uncomfortable, right? I mean, but when we have God's word and other people telling us what we need to hear and what we need to be seeing that we can't see for ourselves, I think we have a chance of growing, chance of maturing in our relationship with Jesus. So over the years, I've come to kind of live by these three W's, okay? So I like audience participation. So if you'll just three fingers up, okay? So and if you like, this is a three, or this is a W, or this is winner, whatever you like. If you're competitive, winner, okay. So the Word of God, this is what we need in our lives, right? Wise counsel. Wise counsel. We need it. And the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Do you love that? Okay? That's like peace plus one, okay? It's awesome. Word of God, wise counsel, whispers of the Holy Spirit. These should be things that are daily present in our lives so that we can follow God with our whole hearts, so we don't find ourselves in a place of rebellion. This scripture goes on to say, and you got to pay attention when something is said twice but in opposite ways. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Nothing is hidden. Everything is uncovered. That's the same thing. We needed to hear it twice. I have an author who I just love reading right now, and his name is N.T. Wright. He writes about the New Testament a lot. N.T. does not stand for New Testament, but people think it does, you know, because he's just a New Testament scholar. So I'd like to read this quote to you from his commentary series, which I highly recommend, called For Everyone. It says, if you open yourself day by day and week by week to the message of Scripture and allow the faithful preaching of Jesus and his achievement to enter your consciousness and soak down into your imagination and heart, then the admittedly uncomfortable work of God's word will be happening on a regular basis, showing you where you really are, what's going on deep inside. Daily submitting yourself to the word of God, not just the book, the message of Jesus, the activity of God, and then coupling that with the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit and some people around you who love you enough to tell you the truth. You hang on to those kind of people. I think those things together land us in the next slide that says this. Daily time with Jesus that transforms our hearts and lives depends on trust and teachability. We put ourselves in a place with Jesus where we say, Jesus, I trust you. And I know I don't know everything I need to know. So keep my heart teachable. It's my favorite characteristic about somebody. If you have a teachable spirit, that's like to me, remember my spectrums, like teachable over here, arrogant over here, right? If we can say on this side of things where our heart is teachable before Jesus, our lives can be transformed for him. Remember that what we're driving toward, the scene we started with, was to help us in our time of need. And I hope some of the things that we've just talked about in mini sermon number two have helped you to remember how much we are in need and how capable of a Savior we have. So if you're just now waking up, welcome to mini sermon number three. I'm kidding. I know you're with me. Let's end with these beautiful verses at the end of Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. My friends, We have a great high priest. Scripture doesn't say there is a great high priest. It says we have a great high priest. We belong to Jesus and he belongs to us. I hope that you recognize that that allows you to live a victorious life. Because Jesus has already won the victory. And we have him. We also know that he was tempted in every way. And sometimes I think that we're alone. We think we're alone in the things that we have to walk through or the things that we're just bent toward that pull us away from him. We're not. He understands. Not only does he understand, but he resides at the right hand of God. And you know what he is doing moment after moment, day after day? Interceding. That's right. Interceding on our behalf. God, remember that one that's on your mind, that one that you care for? Look what's going on here. Will you help them in their time of need? And he never gets tired of it. He never wears out. He's never like, I need a water break. You know, just intercedes for us over and over on our behalf. He's doing that so that his work in his world is being accomplished. Through who? Us, the holy partners in heavenly calling. What's the heavenly calling? That his kingdom would come to this earth now. So sometimes I tell my students, if you haven't heard anything else I've said today, remember this one thing. And here it comes. Jesus, the Almighty, appointed it. Creator, sustainer, purifier, the one who sits at the right hand of the throne of God, invites us to approach the throne of grace with confidence. So if a great earthly king were to come to anyone in the room and say, I'm going to make myself wholly available to you. You are welcome in my throne room anytime, and any request that you want to bring, you are welcome to bring. If that happened to any of us, and other people heard about it, and we're like, nah, it's okay. It's cool, I got it. Right? Cool. You know, I'm good. Everyone would look at us like we were foolish, right? Like we were on this end of the arrogant spectrum. They'd wonder what was wrong with us. And here we are with access to the one who is the exact representation of God's very being, the one who's the radiance and reflection of God's glory. And what is he saying to us? Come. When we approach the throne of God, we have to come humbly, knowing who God is. And knowing who we are in light of who God is, there's a humbleness with which we approach the throne. But there is also a confidence. And that confidence it comes in knowing that we are his. And that we don't have to be afraid to come. Because he invites us with open arms to come. With boldness. With confidence. Confidence knowing that he hears us. That he wants to be in our presence. He wants to hear our requests and meet our needs. There's no fear. There's no trembling. There's safety there. And what Scripture tells us is in that place, when we approach it with confidence, that we get two things. We receive mercy. Mercy. That says, your sin has been paid for. Mercy that sets us free. And then we find grace. And that grace washes over us and gives us the strength that we need and the vision that we need to carry out God's work in his world. And so this begs the question, How can we refuse so great an invitation? Don't you want to be comfortable with the one, familiar with the one, in an intimate love relationship with the one who for all eternity you will be with? For all eternity saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come." Don't you want that to flow so easily off your tongue because you're so familiar with it? Where in God's presence you feel at home? Where you recognize this is the best place to be. This is the only place to be. Where daily you meet with Jesus and he says, "This is what I've got for you today. This is what's in my love letter for you. This is what my spirit is speaking to you. Now go and make disciples. Now go and be my hands and feet in this world." How can we refuse so great an invitation? The Holy One says to you, "Come, be in my presence." Because we are always in a place of need. We are always in a place where all we can say is, "I'm a sinner, but I've been saved by grace, by the only one who has paid the price for all my sin." And so in our time of closing song and reflection, maybe some of you need to practice coming, being in the presence of Jesus here at the altar. Whatever posture you need to take, whatever place in your heart you need to say, "Jesus, this is hard, please, I'm giving it to you." Whatever you need to do, the invitation is open. Will you come? Lord Jesus, we love you. We love you individually. We love you corporately. We know, Jesus, that we need to be in the throne room with you. Would you make us comfortable in that place, Jesus? Would it be a place that's so familiar to us because in our mind and our heart, we can be there in an instant? And Lord, would you take care of anything in our heart that's hindering us from being there with you? And Lord, will we not leave this place without that clear, clear heart and vision of who you are and what you've called us to do? So Lord Jesus, in these moments, would you come? In your name we pray.